From WTIP, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson.
I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.
And I'm Kara Thomas, and here are some of the stories we're following this week. In January, the Cook County North Shore Hospital and Care Center Board of Directors voted to retain St. Luke's Hospital of Duluth to provide them with an administrator and management services. Current Administrator Diane Pearson retires this summer, and the new arrangement is scheduled to begin at that time. According to Pearson, St. Luke's is in the process of screening applicants. Quote, "Our board is hopeful that the screening produces some promising candidates and that St. Luke's will recommend one or two of them for interviews," close quote. She said the local hospital board expects to be interviewing before the end of the month.
Need for food assistance on the North Shore is up 14% this year. Second Harvest Northern Lakes Food Bank has had their caseload increased for its mothers, children, and senior feeding programs to offset this need. Cook County Food Shelf volunteer Gwen Lenz says the local food shelf has seen an increase of just under 10%. Lenz says cash donations to the food shelf go the farthest, but food drop-offs and other contributions from churches and the high school are always welcome, especially for the grab shelf. Participants in feeding programs administered by the Second Harvest Food Bank receive a box of USDA food items, including cans of fruit and vegetables, grain items, dairy items, and proteins. A Second Harvest representative will be taking program applications at the Grand Marais Senior Center at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday, May 18th, and at the Silver Bay Food Shelf on Wednesday, the 19th, at 2 p.m. The Mother and Children Program is for income-eligible mothers who are 6 to 12 months post-breastfeeding and children age 5 and 6 who are not served by the WIC program. The Nutrition Assistance Program for Seniors is for income-eligible seniors over the age of 60.
At the April 27 Cook County Board meeting, Quest Communications President for Minnesota, John Stanek, brought commissioners up to date on the proposed merger between the county's two local telephone providers.
As you know, last week a merger was announced where CenturyLink is acquiring Quest. It's speculative. We think that deal will close in about a year and you'll hear from the CenturyLink people. I think for Cook County in particular, it's a positive because these are the two existing providers you have in the county that will be coming together, and I think that will be a stronger company.
Stanek added the two companies remain separate until the merger acquisition is finalized, so everything Quest currently has on the table to improve telephone service in the county is moving forward as planned. Stanek was asked about the Quest proposal for extending high-speed internet in the county. He said theirs was a limited plan, but could expand once the merger takes place.
We would be providing broadband services that would allow us to, we would be voice and data services. It would basically allow us to upgrade our data or broadband services at higher speeds. We are not in the business of the so-called triple play, where we'd be providing either video services, nor would it be fiber to the home. One of the things that's interesting, I think, about the CenturyLink acquisition of Quest is CenturyLink does have some exchanges around the country where they've been more active in IPTV. The stimulus proposal for us would not be fiber to the home, nor would it have a video component or triple play to it. It would be bringing broadband so people could access the internet at better speeds.
Currently, there are two other fiber optic proposals seeking federal stimulus money. The Arrowhead Electric Cooperative proposal is an infrastructure building plan designed to reach every Cook County home with television, broadband, and telephone. The Northeast Service Cooperative has received a middle mile grant of $21,749,000 and a loan of an additional $21,749. Essentially, the grant provides for a fiber highway connecting various communities in the Northeast. A second round grant is being sought to provide for the extension of fiber optic service from that trunk line to individual homes and businesses. Stanek said with the merger projected to finalize in a year, the two companies can address broadband together as they have telephone service.
Our view as a company is we probably ought to declare victory in the effort to get every American voice service, but we need to pivot now to broadband. And we think that taking government dollars, limited government dollars, and focusing them on building out broadband to unserved areas is something where we will continue to work with you and look for joint opportunities where we could be supportive of your effort to do so.
According to the county's information technician, Dana McKenzie, the Arrowhead and Northeast Service applications have different elements in their models for the government to choose from. Commissioners are on record supporting both applications. The Quest proposal would essentially increase existing broadband speed and does not overlap the other two projects.
This spring will be remembered as one of Minnesota's driest, with ongoing high fire conditions. A normal fire season for the Superior National Forest is from mid-May to mid-June, but normal is a relative term, according to Gene Bergerson of the Minnesota Interagency Fire Center in Grand Rapids. The conditions that were in place when the Ham Lake fire ignited on May 5, 2007, arrived at least 4 weeks early this year and continue to remain in place, according to Bergerson. Record-breaking fire indices, partnered with lack of rain, keep the entire Arrowhead in extreme fire danger. According to Department of Natural Resources data, the average number of fires per year over the last 25 years is 100, and the average number of acres burned per year is 400. In April this year alone, there have been 612 fires burning over 20,000 acres. Bergerson commented that while the current scattered light showers are welcome and provide a much-needed rest to fire crews who have been hard at work since mid-March, they are not enough to replenish our lack of moisture. She added that in order to maintain levels and keep the fire danger from extreme, the area needs 1/2 inch of rain per week. According to the Weather Service in Duluth, April was the warmest since 1871. Temperatures were 7 degrees above normal. Precipitation was 2.7 inches behind normal.
The Forest Service has adjusted campfire restrictions and closures on the Superior National Forest. Cook County Sheriff Mark Falk has revoked his order that banned all recreational fires in the county, including the city of Grand Marais, to conform with state and federal restrictions. Restrictions remain in place in the Superior National Forest and the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, where building, maintaining, attending, or using a campfire or wood or charcoal burning stove continues to be prohibited. Campfires are allowed in designated fire grates in developed campgrounds at any time of day, and the Kekakabic Trail and associated trails have been reopened. Gas and propane stoves are permitted any time of day in any part of the forest. The Department of Natural Resources continues its ban on campfires, and burning permits are not being issued in Cook County. For WTIP News, I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.
I'm Jay Anderson.
And I'm Kara Thomas.